Wake up with Power FM's Brad and Hutsy.
I remember how cringeworthy it was at school when you'd have to go through sex education things and stuff like that, and you'd be watching like old videos from way back in the day. You had the, you know,
Jimmy's feeling special urges. He's noticed Jenny in the classroom.
Exactly. Like that, yeah. Stuff like that. So it's like, all right, we're always having a go, that sort of stuff. So the government's always like, all right, we'll come up with some new ideas. But the last few years, they really have dropped the ball. Like, I think about 2015, they had this one going around called the Stoner Sloth. It's one of the funniest things you'll ever see. It's basically a whole bunch of kids in certain situations. One of them's a young girl who hasn't done her homework, and it turns out she starts making sloth noises, and it's because she's on weed, and it says, you're worse on weed. The whole thing, just an absolute goldmine to make fun of. Like, there's that many videos. I even did my own one online at one stage because it was that ridiculous. But that was the New South Wales government. Now the federal government have recently released a series of videos about new consent and sex education campaigns to feature in schools for, you know, 16, 17, 18-year-olds.
Yeah, as a former teacher, I feel bad for any teacher that has to stand up in front of a classroom of kids and present this video, because I've seen it and it ain't good.
It's terrible. It's part, the video in question is part of the government's The Good Society resources for school students to support respectful relationships and education around consent and that sort of stuff. And well, to put a picture, paint a picture for this one for you, it involves basically two kids, a girl and a boy, talking about consent. And the way they're describing it is they're both eating milkshakes and one is forced upon the other one. Take a listen and try and work it out.
Do you want to try my milkshake?
Yes, I do.
Is it better than yours?
You know, I think I prefer mine.
But what happens when one person takes action without an agreement?
You do, huh? Well, drink it. Drink it all.
It's quite disturbing. She then puts her hand in the milkshake, grabs a whole bunch of ice cream and shoves it and smears it all over the guy's face, like without his consent. So that's the way they're trying to...
It's bizarre to watch. I'm like, what are you doing here? Like, this is not straightforward at all. I came away from it being more confused about the issue of consent and confused about milkshakes now. I'm like, what have you done?
I almost watched it and was like, so where do babies come from? What's happening? No production values in the set. Like, it's very half-assed, the whole situation as well. So it's like, all right, if that confused you, then all of a sudden enter the narrator who tries to describe as best what he deems consent to be. Take a listen and work this out.
When a person imposes their will on you, it's as if they were moving the yes line over the maybe zone or the end zone, ignoring your rich inner world and violating your individual freedoms and rights. And that's not good.
No, that is not good.
Is milkshake still good, though? Yeah, I'm not sure what's happening anymore. What is this?
It was a mess. It was like a cartoon thing he's describing, and he's got this line saying, like, between yes and no, and then someone pushing on further on one side, and then it's just, it was the most ridiculous thing I've ever seen, and obviously experts...
So word is a PR company put this together.
Yeah.
So maybe they should have actually, you know, got the teachers that have to teach this involved and find out the best way to present it rather than just...
Yeah.
You know, present a shoddy Summer Bay diner knockoff as some sort of educational tool?
Yeah, just imagine teachers trying to keep a straight face, trying to teach that in front of the class. Obviously, it's been absolutely smashed online as well. And founder and director of End Rape on Campus Australia, Shana Bremer, says this is bizarre and this is absolutely concerning that this is like how you would try and describe the, you know, consent and things like that.
People thought this was a good idea.
Yeah, people are mocking this thing online. It's ridiculous. The whole thing runs for over 5 minutes, nearly 6 minutes, of people sharing a milkshake and then working out exactly their elbow from their bumhole. Like, this is just... It's one of the... Like,
Tamara has an ice cream headache now from her milkshake.
One of the worst things I've ever seen as well. They could have just gone straight to an expert. Someone who only took around 3 minutes to perfectly explain, you know, a milkshake expert. They could have gone to this person. Saving themselves a couple of minutes there, and people would have known by the end of the song.
Exactly.
Power FM's Brad and Hutsy, weekdays from 6.
Walking the dog. For some people, it's a chore. For others, it's a profession.
And for other people, it's a yo-yo trick.
Oh, yeah.
That's about it. That's all I got.
I mean, if I was going to choose a profession, if they said, Brad, you're done with radio, and let's face it, I'm overdue, and they said, you need to pick another job, I think dog walking would be high on the list. Because my next job, I want something that's outdoors where I'm out in the fresh air. And, like, hanging out with dogs all day, how good would that be? Like, you know, none of the responsibility, but you get to to, you know, hang around with a bunch of dogs.
And
people
are generally happy to see you if you've got dogs. They're like, oh, yeah. Yeah. It's like, it's perfect.
Exactly. And in a place like the far south coast, you know, there's all these beautiful spots where you can take the dogs for a walk. So definitely a win-win. Ticks all the boxes. And that's why I guess Ryan Pomeroy, this Gold Coast bloke, he is a professional dog walker.
Oh, okay.
And he kind of got an idea, though, to take his dog walking to a whole new level a few months back when he was just out on one of his regular dog walks, and this happened.
There was a guy I was walking past, you know, every couple of weeks, and I slowly got more and more dogs. And one day he said to me, "Oh, are you going to go for the world record?" And I thought, well, I am now.
It's like, well, thanks for pointing that out.
So that's what Ryan attempted last Saturday. He tried to break the record for the most pooches simultaneously walked by an individual over a single kilometre. Now, previous to this, Maria Harmon was the world record holder. How many dogs on a leash do you think she had?
I'm going to say 38.
Ooh, close, 36.
Ooh.
This was back in 2018. So she was the record holder. And Ryan went, right, if I'm going to do this, I want to smash this record out of the park.
Yep.
So he wanted to try and walk 72 dogs on Saturday.
Oh, so just by a little bit. He's like
trying
double
to double
it.
The record. Yeah. Unfortunately, 17 of the dogs fell through. So he had 55 dogs That's ready to go on Saturday. Now, he spent months preparing for this. As you can imagine, had to clear the course of any cats, birds or posties just to make sure there were no distractions for the dogs. Otherwise, you'd break the record for the most gravel rash from being dragged along
yeah.
by them.
Just imagine having to go to the bank. It's like, oh, I need a $10,000 loan. What for? Schmackos.
Yeah. Or the Scooby snacks yeah. for the dogs. I'm happy to report that Ryan was able to walk the 1 kilometre with 55 dogs Woo! On leashes. The problem, though, is whether or not it will be recognised by the Guinness World Record people, because at one stage some of the leads were tangled, making it necessary for third parties to intervene to untangle the dog. So that might mean that he didn't do it solo, and so he's disqualified.
Oh, so a couple of lead blowouts and stuff.
Yeah.
Yep.
A couple of dogs like that. Went, oh, I wonder what that... I wonder, dog number three went, I wonder what dog number 47's butt smells like. And
exactly,
they all got
yeah.
tangled up, and so it was a bit of a mess. But he said, you know, maybe we'll have another go, but probably in about 6 months, because there's a fair bit of preparation involved. But the good news is he did break the world record for the most dog poop picked up on one dog walk. So well done, Ryan.
Power FM's Brad and Hutsy, weekdays from 6.
Being a thief is never a good thing, but you'd at least think some thieves would have a moral compass not to go anywhere near stuff that's going to upset the children.
Just want to say Robin Hood.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
I suppose.
Prince of Thieves.
Yeah, Ned Kelly.
Okay.
To a different sort of extent.
Well, he shot cops, so
yeah.
he's not a cool thief.
Yeah, maybe not.
Robin Hood, he's all right.
Yeah, fair enough. But one thing you don't mess with is children's entertainment when it comes to stealing things. Like a few years back, there was a big story about someone stole Agro's car.
And really?
Yeah, someone stole Agro's car from Agro's Cardinal Connection from back in the day, pleading to bring that back. And
did they carjack him? Because I don't imagine Agro could put up much of a fight, because
no.
he just has felt arms that
exactly
don't really
right.
do anything.
I reckon the same people that stole Agro's car, the ones that basically, you know, took the Wiggles' big red car to the chop shop as well. But
yeah.
there's been another theft which has basically rocked the entertainment world to its core. Apparently there is a Sesame Street-themed circus which is going about in Adelaide at the moment.
How did I not hear about this?
I know, exactly.
Are they coming
right.
to the Bega Valley or Yirrbadalla region anytime soon?
I think it's probably going to cost us too much money. It'd bankrupt the town to get some of those stars here.
Typical.
But one of the stars has gone missing. One of the biggest stars of Sesame Street. This story broke overnight. Take a listen.
It's been a problem overnight and Big Bird's gone missing. They've actually cut the chains and the locks and that to actually removing from the site.
He's described as being 228 centimetres tall, with bright yellow feathers, large feet and a chirpy attitude.
Yeah, right. We all know what
you
Big Bird looks
him.
Like. You don't have to describe him.
Gone missing from the circus.
Oh, because normally his mate Snuffleupagus is the one that always goes, you know, missing.
Exactly right.
What happened with Big Bird?
Big Bird was stolen from the tent at the grounds where the circus is being held. I really think he should get a better agent, because looking at the working conditions that where he was stolen from, he was just in a tent chained up in there. I'm like,
what?
This is Big Bird. I'm like, this guy probably has, you know, he should have like gold limousines and all sorts of stuff. He's been in entertainment biz for over 50 years. This is a little bit rough.
Jeez.
Yeah. All they managed to...
I thought Oscar had it bad.
I know.
Life, but Big Bird's got it much
working,
worse.
It's going to be like a current affair on these working conditions. But basically, like, he's gone missing. All they found was just a trail of feathers. And these feathers, this in this costume, are they're like ostrich feathers, which are worth an absolute fortune.
Oh, so that's why they think people have stolen them?
Try and put a number on what you think the suit's worth.
Oh, man. Well, if you're saying the feathers are worth a bit, how many feathers would there be? Hundreds of feathers on that suit. So I'm going to say $10,000 for the Big Bird costume on the feather black market.
Pick up your jaw, Brad. $160,000.
Piss off. Are you serious?
I'm serious.
Oh, my God.
This outfit is worth $160,000.
Oh, my God.
I know. So, obviously...
Big Bird should have bodyguards.
How do you... Like, they'd have to be pretty tall bodyguards to be bigger than Big Bird. He's, like, 6 foot six or 6 foot eight or something. Like, they'd have to be, like, 12 foot tall. Maybe get, like, a, you know, Snuffy to follow him around with
with the dark glasses on and the little thing to...
Why not? But I tell you what, this reporter, as you can tell, like, when you get a story like this is absolute gold that gets dropped in your lap as well. So he had to then bring in the other characters of the show that were a little bit upset. Take a listen.
The thief leaving fellow Sesame Street friends like Elmo seeing red and Cookie Monster feeling blue.
I see what he did there. They wouldn't be much help to you, though. You think about it, you know, like you got Oscar the Grouch, who, you know, refused to give comment about the whole situation.
Yeah.
You've got Snuffy, who they couldn't find to even interview because
that's
he's imaginary.
Right. He disappears all the time.
And then you got the Count. He was just walking around counting the feathers. So he wasn't much help at all. So you'd want to just clear the decks and get them all out of there whatsoever. But when I look at the facts of this story, I'm like, Big Bird chained in a dark room, feathers, all sorts of stuff. Geez, this sounds like a bit of a weird sort of a plot. I think Sesame Street's changed a lot since I was a kid, that's for sure.
Yeah, big time.
Wake up with Power FM's Brad and Hutsy.